it's raining, but you're in the house. That means you love God a whole bunch. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for being here today. I want to start out and honor Pastor Eben and First Lady Charisse. What a beautiful house. And what a blessed family. So glad to be here. And the Lord gave me a couple of words during worship, and the first one is excellence. You all have a spirit of excellence. Not perfectionism. It's not making anybody feel bad. You've got excellence when it comes from the Lord. And so I just want to honor that and want to bless that. And then I just believe the Lord spoke to me about what you've been preaching on, favor. And I believe favor is going to increase. And I just heard the Lord say out of Isaiah, from the south, the north, the east, and the west, bring them in. They're coming in. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 All right. I want to bless the real brains of the Klingerberg outfit, my lovely bride of 40 years. Dawn, would you stand up and take a bow? She is wearing a new dress today. We have 5 children. I've had people say to me many times, man, you must really love children. And I said, no, I really love my wife, and that's why we have a lot of children. We are blessed. Bethany is 36, Jeremy 32, Jonathan 30, Jeremy 30. No, I'm not going to try to do that. We have a lot of kids, and we're very thankful for them, and we're blessed. And we now have 8 grandchildren. So, there we are. The tribe. So that's the gang, and it's increasing all the time. So, so glad to be here. So excited. Want to encourage you. Out of 2 books in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 4. And the High Ridge family of churches brings you greetings. And so the Lord has blessed us. There's a High Ridge in Longview, Texas, Fort Worth, Parker County, Mineral Wells, Graham, and Rockland, California. And so we're very excited to be able to participate in the kingdom with you all today. All right, the title is The Real You. I'm going to come to you out of 1 Thessalonians 5, Hebrews chapter 4. I believe there's lots of great teaching going on in the kingdom of God right now regarding our spiritual identity. And yes, I'm a priest, I'm a king, I'm royalty, etc., and you are too, if you know Christ. But I think there's a level deeper we can go in understanding just who we are and whose we are by understanding the 3 parts of our being. So I want to start out in ask you a couple of questions. What would you think if I told you you aren't who you really think you are? You're even better. What would you think if I told you that you could live your life deeply connected to God with very low level of sin, with a very low level of spiritual warfare? What if you heard me tell you that you can live your life just like Jesus lived his life? Would that entice you? Would that excite you? What would you think if I told you that you are more like your creator than what you realize? As the old hymn says, God in 3 persons, blessed Trinity. Well, guess what? You are created in the image of God, and you're made out of 3 parts. God in 3 persons, you in 3 parts. And those 3 parts of you are your spirit, your soul, and your body. And that's the order in which the Apostle Paul teaches it. So I want to just show you really quickly that just as God is a triune God, you are a triune being. So I had a hard time understanding God being 3 persons. And so in seminary, I just asked the professor teaching one time, I said, can you give us an analogy so that we can understand this God in 3 persons thing? Because it's kind of hard to grasp hold of. He said, I sure can. And he talked about H2O. And so he said, you know, God is just like H2O. And then a picture in my mind came of the ocean, which would be like Father God. And then he said, but it didn't stop there, because God is also Jesus Christ. And he came in the flesh. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 that the disciples held him. It touched him, but literally the word is that they hugged. Now, how many of y'all know hugging in church is just a thing? But have you ever had people hugging in church? Well, let me just tell you about a couple guys we used to have in our church, older gentlemen. And one of them loved to give men hugs. And when he gave a hug, it was all the way on, all the way around, and he held on and didn't turn loose, and then he started doing this. And so I'm thinking, that's too much touch for me. Then we had another older gentleman that liked to hug the ladies. And so he'd go straight on with a big hug, and then he'd lean back and lift their feet off the ground. Can everybody say that's too much touch? But there is a right way and a good way to hug. And I love, it's been the case in this house just like it is in ours. When a man hugs a man, it's slap the five and then boom, boom. That's the way it's supposed to roll. And then with the ladies, if they're okay with it, then it's just kind of, you know, just. But Jesus was the second person in the Trinity to have the activity was first of all Father God, the fire by night and the cloud by day, and then the commandments, etc. Then God came to earth and took on flesh. That'd be like an iceberg. That'd be like ice. It's solid. You can touch it. And then third, the Holy Spirit came. Jesus promised that shortly following his ascension back to heaven that he would pour out the Spirit. And that happened the first time right there at the Festival of Pentecost in Jerusalem. Anybody ever been to Israel? What a beautiful thing. Isn't it awesome the way it changes you when you're there, Pastor? Yeah. So Jesus came and then he sent the Holy Spirit, which would be like steam. H2O at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Or like humidity. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. And so God in three persons, you in three parts. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself. Now we got to stop right there real quick, because that reflexive God himself tells us we should pay attention. Y'all have probably heard that when something appears in scripture twice, pay double attention. Three times, pay triple attention. Well, anytime the scripture says God himself, that means that the Holy Spirit, in this case through the apostle Paul, captured it and wanted to put some emphasis there. God himself. So we need to pay attention. God himself sanctify you, which means to make you holy completely. God wants to make you holy in every part of you, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And may your whole, and then here it comes, spirit, which is the Greek word pneumata, which means, as I just said, breath, wind, air, steam. And your soul, which is the Greek word psuche, which sounds like our word psyche, which is where the study of the mind or psychology comes from. That's a big part of your soul, your personality. But many people think that that's who you really are. But I've got good news for you today. Yes, you are who your personality is, but you're even more than that as a child of God. You are in the image of Almighty God, which means a face-to-face reflection. So just as God is spirit, soul, and body, you are spirit, soul, and body. Then it says your whole spirit, soul, and body, which is your earth suit. It's the Greek word soma, which means the collection of cells, the amount of hair or lack of hair, the color of eyes, etc., that you are composed of. May it be preserved blameless at, or really until, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I look at this. I love this. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful. Can somebody just say, my God is faithful today? He who calls you is faithful, not faithless, not a little faith. He is faithful, and he wants you to live full of faith too. And he will also do it. You see, God is faithful, and if you will let him, he will conform you into the image of his son. Which, my friend, is a better way to live life than living your life not conformed to the image of the Son. But there's a battle that goes on. Or is it just me? There's a battle that goes on. I have thoughts that pop into my mind, and I wonder sometimes, where in the... Well, it probably did come from hell. Where in the hell did that come from? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It just pops in there, and you're thinking, what? I bind you. Get out of here. But sometimes the battle rages in our minds, but we have a faithful God, and a faithful God will help us. God in three persons, you in three parts. I want to show you another verse, because this takes us even deeper into our soul. Hebrews 4:12, second passage today on spirit, soul, body. By the way, I've written a book on this. If you'd like to buy one, it would help a brother who every time the whole family goes out to eat, 19 people all look down at the end of the table. So it's Papa Bear always picking up the tab. And they're always asking us to go out to eat. Any dads or granddads in the house know what that's like? Yeah, man, it seems like it never ends. Anyway, where was I? Second passage, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful. Now, I love Rhema, and I know, Pastor, you teach that as well. When the Logos, the written word of God, is quickened and gives direction to our life. Read about that in Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus overcame the evil one with Rhema. But this is Logos. This is your Bible. The word of God in print. Or if you read it off your devices. This is the word of God getting into you creates power. In other words, you've heard the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, I've got one for you. A scripture a day keeps the devil away. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I've wondered, what in the world does a two-edged, what's that mean? The word of God can push the enemy back straight ahead. Can puncture the evil he's trying to bring to your life. The word of God can swing to the right and take care of anything coming at you off of this flank. And the word of God can swing to the left. It's a two-edged sword. It works anywhere, everywhere, all the time. So I want to encourage you today to love your word. Love your word. It's a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of. And here we go with our three words. Soul, suke, spirit, pneumata, which, by the way, your spirit has the same terminology as the Holy Spirit. Piercing even soul and spirit of joints and marrow. There's your body. The third part. And then here's a little more depth. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Three parts of your soul. What are your thoughts? That's your mind. Everything begins with a thought. I just joked about thoughts that come from the pit of hell into our mind. You wonder where they come from. But all thoughts come to our mind. That's your perception. How are you perceiving life around you? And then the intents, that's your will. So your mind, your thoughts, your will is how you make decisions and why you make them the way that you do. And many of us, and this is the depth of the book that I wrote, many of us don't yield our soul to the indwelling spirit. And so what happens is when a thought comes and a temptation comes, hey, look at her again. Isn't she beautiful? And when that thought comes, we haven't made a choice of our will. We haven't predetermined that when the tempter comes, I'm turning to the Lord. I'm not going to stay in the temptation. And that's what this word intents means. So thoughts, mind, perception, intents, will, and purpose, your decision making, and then of the heart. And that's your emotions. And your emotions are how you respond and why you respond to things in your life the way that you do. Now, quite often, here's how it goes, even for the people of God. A thought comes, an emotion immediately follows. The Holy Spirit is bypassed, the indwelling spirit that's renewed our spirit and helping us to be able to hear the voice of God, even to pray with God and like God with praying in the spirit. And that stage is, that process is skipped. Why? Because we're allowing our emotions to dominate who we are when it should be the indwelling spirit of God quickening our spirit to abundant life to encourage and lead us in who we are and where we're going to go and what we're going to do. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is where the spiritual battle is being fought. Now, many people think the throne of God is in the third heavens, and it is. But listen to me, friends, Satan cannot get into the third heavens. He's been cast out and all of the demons that fell with him. By the way, I want you to think about this. The Bible says, and Satan fell and a third of the demons fell with him. That means two-thirds of the angels stayed with Almighty God. And listen, the spiritual battle going on in your life and around your life, it's not a nip and tuck between an angel named Lucifer and Almighty God, the creator of all things. It's not a who's going to win. God is far above all rule and authority. There is no one like our God. The spiritual battle that rages is between a fallen angel named Lucifer and then two other angels, Gabriel and Michael, who are still with God and still fighting. So even in that equation, the bad guys are outnumbered by the good guys 2-1. So we win. But the question is are we allowing the Spirit to strengthen our life and to help us to live in abundance? Here's another way you can understand these three. You have been saved. The moment that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and forgive your sins, then you were saved. Your name is sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. You're saved. But you are also being saved. What am I talking about? I'm talking about where in Philippians it says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, why do I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling if I'm already saved by Almighty God? Because we're living in a battle in a fallen world. And this is your soul. So we're wrestling, we're fighting, we're joining up, and we're staying in allegiance to Almighty God to win the battles in our soul, in our mind, will, and emotions. Then you will be saved. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will be saved. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the third part of your body. Someday this earth suit is going to change. Come on, somebody. All the problems. I can't wait for allergies to go away forever. I can't wait for an achy back with a couple of bulging discs. And I believe I'm healed now. I'm speaking healing in Jesus' name over you and over my life as well. I believe it is here and now. But I'm looking forward to my perfect body. How about you? I can't wait for that day. You have been saved, spirit. You are being saved, soul. You will be saved, body. How many of y'all have ever heard of a story called Cinderella? Remember, she was made into a princess. And what she was given clothes, a royal coach with horses, attendants, and proper shoes. That's kind of what the whole thing's about. Nothing was left out. Would the clothes alone have been enough? No, she would have shown up and everybody would have recognized she's an imposter. Would the attendants or the horse and the carriage have been enough? No, they would have recognized she's not wearing the right shoes. She's an imposter. All of these things are necessary. All things had a part. If one thing had been left out, everyone knows something is wrong. She'd been given everything she needed, everything that was necessary so that she could be a princess, just like you. Everything you need so that you can live an abundant life. So that you can live according to whose you are and who you are. For example, many times Christians will be doing great. They'll be worshiping strong in their word. Logos is coming in. Rhema's coming out. They'll be living that way, but yet they can't get control of their tongue. And it's okay to talk bad about somebody. Because after all, that's just how they really are. But what that boils down to is a little bit of gossip and slander, which read your word, that's not blessed by God. And that's not who you really are or whose you really are. Well, think about somebody that they lack kindness and compassion. I mean, they can rip you apart quicker and faster and deeper with more pain than anybody you've ever met in your life. But hallelujah, praise the Lord. They claim to be a Christ follower. What's wrong? What's wrong there? Their soul is leading the way and their spirit is quenched in an area of their life. And that's not what God wants for us. God wants us to have everything that He has given us to live every way that He plans for us to live. Cinderella had everything she needed and you have everything you need. We are triune beings made of spirit, soul, and body. Somebody say those three words. Here we go. Spirit, soul, and body. All right, so number one in your notes. I am a spiritual being. Say that with me. I am. I'm a spiritual being. When I asked Jesus to come in and a deposit of the Holy Spirit was made, that's the term Paul uses, then that made me different than what I've ever been before. That made me a spiritual being, and the same true with you. Which, by the way, if you're here today and you're not absolutely positively certain that you're going to be with God in His heaven at the end of your life, whenever that might be, it'd be my honor to help you meet Him today in your heart. Because He's the only one that can forgive sins. And friend, face it, your best efforts of being good enough aren't cutting it. And you know that deep down inside. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need Jesus. So it'd be my honor to help you become a spiritual being today if you're not already. The spirit, here's the definition, is the ruling faculty within a Christian, allowing them to interact with the unseen realm. Your interactions with the unseen realm are not as strong and blessed as God wants them to be when you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Can somebody say life? Because of righteousness. And I want you to see that because, to see that sentence because, and see it if you're there in your word. In English, there's a, if always produces one condition. And it's a condition of a question. So that verse at the end of it has a question mark. If Christ is in you. That's not the case in Greek. It's called the if-then clause. Third class conditional sentence. The if is there. The then is implied. So let me give it to you that way. If Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin. But let me give it to you in a better way. Since Christ is in you, you don't have to sin. You don't have to. It no longer has a hold on you. And the life that I want to encourage you into today is that life that is not bound to sin. So that strongholds, things in your mind that aren't right, can be pulled down and undone. Patterns, ways of thinking, emotional responses can all be brought in alignment with who you are and whose you are. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, same thing, third class conditional sense. So let's do it again. Since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I was 9 years old when an evangelist came to our Baptist church. I was raised in a very traditional, very strict Baptist church. And as a matter of fact, our church was, there was a belief system that they had that every other church's baptism was an alien baptism. So even people coming from our own denomination, moving from another city or coming from another, there was another church in our denomination in town, coming from that church, another city into our church, they had to be baptized into our church. And that's not biblical, by the way. And this how strict this church was. And so I was kind of, as a little boy, I was kind of, I don't want that. I've always had a dislike of religion. Oh, it got quiet. It got quiet. I have a love of a relationship. I love that Jesus is near. I love the Spirit of God walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. I love to hear the Spirit of God speak in my spirit. That wasn't the case in our church, and so I was hesitant. And then the day came when we had a guest evangelist come in, and he preached a message, and there weren't that many that responded to be saved, to receive Christ as their Savior. So he said this, I'm praying right now that every person in this room that doesn't have Jesus in their heart can't fall asleep tonight until you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Guess who could not fall asleep in bed that night? I remember him preaching, you're going to die and burn in hell. And I just heard it when I was trying to fall asleep, and I got up out of my bed and walked out into the living room, and mom and dad were in their chairs reading the newspaper. How many of y'all remember the day when you read the newspaper in paper form? And I'm crying, and what's wrong, Jeff? And I say, I don't know Jesus. And I can't fall asleep, just like he prayed. And so my mom helped me meet Jesus. And at that moment, everything changed. A deposit was made within me. It's called the Spirit of the Living God. My spirit was dead, then brought to life by the Spirit of the Living God. And that is how I began in my walk with Jesus. But it didn't stop there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, the Bible says this. But the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Did you know that your life has a glow? Or a lack thereof. So literally what that means, the lamp of the Lord means a glow. Have you ever met somebody and just within a couple of minutes of meeting them, there was such a glow about them, I mean spiritually speaking, that you were drawn. They weren't pushing you away with religion. That their glow had a relationship with Almighty God, and they were connected to God, and that's what I long for and hope for you. Spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord. Look at this, searching all the inner depths of his heart. And I yielded to the Holy Spirit in my early 20s, when I was in a spirit-filled church, and we had a men's retreat, and in that men's retreat, a pastor who was 83 years old, who had been raised up the very same way that I was, but then heard about the life in the Holy Spirit, and he received it. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he asked me, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I don't know." I was kind of like the Samaritan church. "Have you heard of the Holy Spirit?" "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Yeah. Or the Ephesians church, anyway, whichever one it was. And so he said, "Would you like to receive the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I sure would." He said, "Good." He began to pray for me. The heavens opened. Yeah. Some call it a second blessing. I just say, I don't care what you call it. I love it. Yeah. I am so thankful that the glow in me is not about how good I can do, how many boxes I can check in pleasing God, but because I'm letting Him move through my life, and I pray today to bless you. Your spirit should lead the way in your life. Somebody shout me down with an amen right there. Your spirit should lead the way, not your emotions, not the yearnings of your flesh, of your earth suit, your spirit. And my preposition is this: if you will yield to the Holy Spirit and let your thoughts, that they're going to happen, but let your decision immediately follow those thoughts to always go toward God and not toward what you want to say and how angry you are and how they make you feel. If you can just purpose ahead of time to have your will come in second place behind your spirit, then I can promise you your thought life will improve. The temptations will go down, and I can promise you, you won't be hurting people like you used to with your emotional outbursts. And that's the way God wants you to live. Number two, I possess a soul. Would you say that with me? So remember, you are a spiritual being, you possess a soul. The soul is the center of your personality. Now I started out asking you questions. What if I told you you're not really who you think you are? What if I told you you could live your life and not be bound to sin? What if, you know those questions that I asked at the beginning? Well, this helps you to understand, yes, you do have a personality. Yes, you do have a soul. You do have a psyche, but it shouldn't be leading the way. The Spirit of God within you should be leading the way. And it's not hard. And it's not a drag. And it's not difficult. And I'm not telling you that I've arrived. I'm still in a battle just like you are. The throne of God right in here is, there's a battle that goes on. The enemy comes with temptations, and then the one who I belong to and the one whose I am fights back, and then I make the choice most of the time to line up with the voice of the Spirit. You can see these two words in the revelation that Gabriel gave Mary, that she was going to carry God in her womb and give birth to the Son of God. Luke chapter 1 verse 46 through 47, and Mary said, "My soul," psyche, "magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." What does this show us? As a 15-year-old girl, Mary had already made the choice that no matter what came her way in life, she was going to call out and yield to and follow the leading of the Spirit of God first, not second. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has already rejoiced in God my Savior." I don't know about you, but if I was a 15-year-old girl and I had an angel show up to me and say, "You're going to conceive in your womb God himself," I think I might have gone, "Ah!" Just a little moment of fear. But she made a choice because she had already aligned her will toward the Spirit of God. And she was able to be blessed in that moment. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health," that's your body, "just as your soul prospers." Spirit leading the way, soul following suit, body blessed, because the Spirit of God is energizing the soul and bringing blessing to the body. Do you know that you can kill yourself by the way you think? Do you know you can make yourself sick by the way that you think? Why keep living that way? Why not call out to God and say, "Fill me with your Spirit, I want to live that life. I don't want to live the life where I'm being beaten down and difficult all the time." Your soul should yield to your spirit. All right, let's go to number three. I live in a body. Okay, once again, let's do it again. I am a spiritual being. I possess a soul. I live in a body. This earth suit is temporary. Your earth suit is temporary. It's going to change. It's going to be blessed someday. Be blessed beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. The body links a person to the material world and is the instrument of all outward deeds. My body right now is touching this lectern made out of something nice. So my body is connecting me to the material world right now. And that's what we need to understand. The order is spirit, soul, body. Now body first. If that's the case, you'll always be thinking about what you're going to eat next. And do you have enough of your favorite snacks around? And are you exercising enough, et cetera? Not body first, spirit first. Not soul first. If soul goes first, then your spirit gets quenched. Because you're thinking the wrong way, making the wrong decisions, and having the wrong emotional responses. Spirit first. Spirit of God leading the way. It's not hard. Lord, here I am. Fill me. Use me. Lead the way. I submit every part of me to every part of you. And then your body follows suit. Your body connects you to the material world. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Oh, can we stop right there for a praise break? Can anybody in the house give thanks that God is a merciful God? Come on. God is a merciful God. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. Thank you that even though we didn't deserve it, you gave it to us. Thank you, Lord, that even when we mess up, you still cover us with your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God, and we honor you today. We bless you. We magnify you. Thank you for your mercy. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have from God? And you are not your own. Somebody just put your hands right here. All of this right here is the temple of God. Come on. All of this right here is the temple of God. All of this here, all of this here, all of this. Where these take me? I got some new sneakers today. Just because your pastor blows me away. And, I love your style, brother. I love it. What's it called now? It's not sharp or style or hip. Oh, those are old. Is it still drip? Swag. So I shared with y'all, we have a campus in Rockland, California, a location in Rockland, California. And, we showed up for the service there and, the pastor's daughter, looks at me and goes, whoa, Pastor Jeff, you got drip. I looked at Dawn and said, do you know what that means? And so she saw a puzzled look on my face. She said, your gear, it looks good. I said, okay, thank you. So drip is good? She said, yes. And anyway, how did I get off on that? Body, your body. Even if you cover your body up with some of the good stuff, if your mind's messed up, you're still in trouble. So, oh, it's all parts of me. Even where my feet in my new Vapor Max, where they take me, it's all belongs to God. Your body is the temple of the Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to God. Your body is God's temple and should yield to the indwelling Spirit. Your body should yield to, actually, we always do this because, you know, as English language speakers, we believe the soul of the being is a heart. The Hebrews believe that it was the kidneys. Some belief systems in that day was of the bowels. But we know now it's all here. The Spirit of God is here. helping our mind, our will, and emotions. It's here. This is where the throne of God is. This is where real spiritual battle takes place. Yes, it's going on in the unseen realm around us, but as I just shared with you a moment ago, the bad guys are outnumbered 2-1, and God reigns over all. But the real battle takes place here, where the throne of God is. Because you're a Christ follower and the Spirit of God is there, and wherever the Spirit is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And so therefore there's worship, just as you all expressed a while ago in such a beautiful way. Your love and worship of God. But all of our body should submit to all of God's Spirit. Your body is God's temple and should yield the indwelling Spirit. So who are you? Who are you? You are a dynamic spiritual being created in the image of God who possesses a personality or a soul while dwelling in a temporary earth suit, all the while being sanctified and made holy by a loving, merciful God. Why? So that you can enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth. Because that's how good your God is. That is who you are. That's the real you. The real you, fully alive, very simply means you've made the choice. Spirit of God's going to lead the way in this house. And then the will is going to go first. I'm going to predetermine my decisions when the warfare comes. Not my emotions. Not my words. It's going to be the choices that I've made ahead of time for when that arrow is shot at me again. So that I can stay in faith, holding up the shield of faith to be able to win. Amen, somebody? Amen. So that's who you really are. I want to pray for you today before we finish. Just by way of show of hands, is there anybody today that's had the Holy Spirit speaking to you during worship? Anybody that's just lift your hand. Anybody had the Spirit of God speaking to you during the teaching? I'm not going to embarrass you. Just going to pray for you. Just slip your hands up all across the room. Very good. During worship, during the teaching, God spoke something to you. Very good. Just by lifting your hand, you're acknowledging, God, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you right now. Father in heaven, you see the lifted hands right now, and I pray that you would bless each and every one. I thank you for their honesty and integrity to lift their hand now and say, God's speaking to me. God's doing something. God's working a work in my heart. And so I just want to encourage you today, those with lifted hands, to recognize the nearness of God is your good. So Lord, bless my friends. Bless each one. Lord, those who are here for the first time today, bless them. Lord, those who are veterans in this house, bless them. Prosper them. Every step and every path blameless. In Jesus' name I pray.